I'm continuing with the series, King of Glory. We've been speaking about different covenant names of God, like the Lord our provider or the Lord will provide. That's actually one of his names that he's revealed himself, the Lord will provide. And so this morning I want to continue, I think finish the series. I think this is the sixth message, and so you can get the rest online. You can download it at shofarsermons.org. And so this morning I want to speak to you about living from heaven to earth. And many people are living in a way that they're actually living from earth to heaven. And they are Christian, and they're going through all the motions in the way they're praying, they're reading their Bible, they're going through all the Christian things. But it's powerless. It's powerless. And I think you can just put on the front one. Otherwise, some people will... I sort of heat up when I preach. So put the back one off and just put the front one on and park it over here on me. Okay, awesome. Okay, then I don't overheat. It's like a car, you know. You need to get your airflow. You need to get your airflow going. And... So there are two ways of living. The one is living from heaven to earth, and the other one is living from earth to heaven. Now, if you're living from earth to heaven, it's powerless living. When you're living from heaven to earth, it's spirit-filled living. And so I think many, many Christians battle in this, and so I want to highlight a few things concerning this. And in this week, I just really felt the Lord laid on my heart that boldness is key. Boldness is key. Can you say boldness? Boldness. Boldness is key. Proverbs 28 verse 1 speaks of this. It says, "The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." If you want to live from heaven to earth, and I'll explain in a bit what that actually means. But if you want to live from heaven to earth, you need boldness. A while ago, I spoke about living from the mountaintop, ascending the hill of the Lord and living from top, from that place of spiritual authority, from a place of overcoming in God. And so that's where God wants us to live. But this key element is necessary, boldness. You need boldness. And so many Christians are battling, many people are battling in this area of boldness. But it says the righteous are bold. The righteous, what's that? The righteous, those who are in right standing with God, they are bold. They are bold. But it says the wicked, those who are not in right standing with God, they will be timid, they will be intimidated, and they will actually flee when no one is pursuing. Sort of what the power of fear. There's actually nothing happening, but you're terrified and you're running away. And so the wicked flees. Christians should not be fleeing unless fleeing from sin and temptation. That's good. That's biblical. You run from sin and from temptation. But you do not flee from opposition. You do not flee from challenges. You do not. We don't flee. We stand. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. Boldness is key. Even you read through the book of Acts, there was a time where the apostles were intimidated by the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders. They were telling them, stop speaking in this name of Jesus. They were threatening him with death, basically. What was their response? God, give us boldness. Give us boldness. In the midst of opposition, give us boldness. The Lord, when we became Christians, he didn't tell us, you're not going to have a challenge. He said, you're going to have significant challenges, but I will give you the victory in the midst of it. And so there's this key that is basically boldness. What does it mean to be bold? Bold means it's being who you are in Christ, even when there's great opposition. Boldness is being who you are in Christ, whose God has defined you to be, even in the midst of great opposition. Even in the midst of great opposition. As I'd say with my boy, Vian, he's 4.5. And he, at home, he's as bold as a lion. When there are visitors coming, he would run out of the house. He would storm to the gate. He'll jump into their arms. He doesn't care. He doesn't know them at all. But he's at home. He's secure. He's happy. You know, so he is as bold as a lion. Now we get his report from school. It says, Vian is a very quiet boy. Are you speaking about the same boy? He is not quiet. He's always laughing and jumping and talking and running, and he's wild. He's wild. But with mom and dad, he's secure, he's loved, that blesses me, you know. And we treat him like an adult in the way we value him. And he obviously that affects him. So at home, he's bold. At school, he's not. He's not him, you know. So boldness, sorry guys and ladies, everybody, boldness is not to be at home, look in the mirror, say, you're so fine, you're so awesome, oh, I'm a lion, you know, I fear no one, strutting around at home, you know, it's a dapper mais, you know, that song, maar as daar kat kom. It's an Afrikaans song, but I don't know if there's an English one for it, but this male singing, I am so brave, I'm so courageous, and I'm walking around, and then the cat, and then he runs away, and he's freaked out, and then, you know, and so for some of us, you know, where we are comfortable, where we are in control at home, you know, we bold, you know, but then we go out there in the world somewhere, and we're not bold. We're intimidated. We're not ourselves. Even when there's great pressure, that's the challenge. When there are great opposition, boldness is to be yourself in the midst of great opposition. Even when the pressure is on any level, when the pressure is on, you must stand. The challenge is to be bold when the pressure is on. Okay. So there are different forces at work. Forces that wants to mold you and me, wants to get us into a little box. I saw this sort of picture in my mind's eye of a little porcelain doll. Now in India, the idols are made of some form of porcelain or ceramic or whatever, but it's like this doll thingy. And so the world, these forces want to form you and me into this nice and quiet position. I don't get too excited, huh? Shut up, okay? Just don't say you're a Christian, please. Always so blessed with Rion, and it's amazing how, you know, he just, even in his workplace, when there's a function for clients, whatever, then he says, no, this business is for God, and we honor God. That's amazing. We shouldn't be intimidated. We should be ourselves, even when there are other people or there are opposition. But this mold. So some of us are put into a little mold. It becomes like your prison, your identity out there. It becomes your prison. And I want this morning, I want to take a little hammer and I want to give it a good truth knock and break that little doll to pieces, that lie of the enemy. And so many of us, you know, the Facebook era sums it up so beautifully. We post something on Facebook, and we hope someone would like it. Please like my post. Please like my post. You know, and that's sort of human nature. We so want to be liked. We so want somebody to tell us, hey, you're good. You're awesome. But it's a trap. The fear of man becomes a trap for us. We are so desperate to have the people, to please people, that they actually begin to form us and mold us into an image that's not of God. So we need to get out of that. The fear of man says, please like me. Please like me. But it's a trap. We need to break out of that. People should not define us. People should not define us. Now, if you're writing something down, this would be a good thing to write down. The one you fear is the one that will define you. The one you fear is the one that will define you. If you fear God, then he will define you. If you fear people, they will define you. So we need to be bold under any circumstances, even when there's chaos in your environment, financial chaos or whatever. Your fear of lack should not define you. Your fear of lack should not define you. Fear of the chaos in your environment should not define you. Why? Because we serve the God who brings order out of chaos. That's the God we serve. We serve the God that brings order out of chaos. So there's chaos. I will not be defined by my chaos. I will not be defined by my workplace or the challenges or the pressures or the deadlines or the financial stuff or whatever. I will not be defined by that. I am defined by God who brings order out of chaos. I will not be defined by circumstances. I will not be defined by people. Whether it be the president of the land in his presence or a king from some country, or the CEO of a massive multinational conglomerate. Hello, it's me, Andre. Hi, how's it going? I'm just me. Why? Because I know the King of Kings. I know the King of Kings. I know your boss. We tight. We are tight. You don't fear me. You do not intimidate me. Boldness, living from heaven to earth. People do not define us. Circumstances do not define us. The presence of evil do not define us. Because I know the Lord of Lords who brings terror to darkness, Jesus Christ. I'm still me, under pressure, any form of pressure, circumstances, people, even evil. I am me. I am in Christ. And that's what each and every one of us need to come to. And I just know God speaking to me so clearly. He's saying to me, guys, be bold. He's saying, be bold. And I saw as we were praying before the time, I saw a picture of a city sort of in the valley. And then suddenly the city was sort of cut out, became like an island, a floating island. I saw this island moving up the hilltops, up the mountaintops, and going to the top. Bible says we are a city on a hill. Many are actually a city in the dump, a city in the valley. We are supposed to be a city on the hill, a city on the mountaintop. Speaks of spiritual authority, speaks of taking up our place in the heavenlies, living from heaven to earth and not from earth to heaven. And so I believe that's what God wants to do with us as a church, move us up to a place of authority. Just interesting, I was in this week while we were praying on Thursday night, I just really sensed again the Lord is saying to me, I'm just getting started with you. I'm just really just teaching you some stuff. And then you're going to see the glory. Then you're going to see the glory. Boldness is key. Boldness is key. And I've just been seeing the last while, it's so tempting to have a good name. Even as a church, for me as a pastor in the city, to have a good name. You know, wanting people to say good stuff about us and saying what a great leader or what a great guy or what a great church. And I just realized that can be an idol as well. That can be a false god. Something you are pursuing at the expense of following Jesus. And one needs to lay that down. When you know what's going to happen when God blesses us or blesses you? Everybody's not going to be blessed with it. Everybody's not going to be blessed when God blesses you. Because it's not fair. It's not fair. God doesn't necessarily bless everyone. He blesses the faithful. He blesses those with faith. He blesses those who are faithful to Him. He blesses. Everybody's not going to like it. Make a peace with Him. I'm making a peace with Him. It's okay. But that's the challenge for me as leadership, and for us as leadership, and all the leaders here in the church. Sometimes we need to make decisions that people won't like. And sometimes we will make decisions that I can't explain to everybody. So be it. But am I following Jesus or am I following the opinions of man? Are you following Jesus or are you following the opinions of man? You cannot lead when you are moved by the opinions of man. But we must be moved by God. So in your workplace, who's moving you? In your home life, who's moving you? In church, who's moving you? We need to be moved by God. So my question for you is, who's forming you? What's forming you? Circumstances? People? The devil? Who's molding you? Who's forming you? We need to come to a place where it's God and God alone. So how do we get boldness? How do we get boldness? How do we get bold? Just be bold. You can have a bold personality, but that doesn't mean you're bold. The boldness I'm speaking of is a spiritual boldness. It's a taking up your place in the spirit. Somebody can act very boldly on the outside, but it doesn't come from a place of authority. It doesn't come from a place of true God boldness. So it's not personality. You can have a very shy personality, but be extremely bold. You can look the devil in the eye and whisper, "Go away in Jesus' name." Because you're speaking from a place of boldness, authority. Okay, so 2 Corinthians 5:21. We need to ascend the heavenlies. We need to live from heaven to earth. 2 Corinthians 5:21. This gives us the key to boldness. Well, let me take one step back. The key to righteousness. It says that the righteous are as bold as a lion. The righteous are as bold as a lion. So how do we get righteousness? It says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." That we might become the righteousness of God in him. The word righteousness or righteous, it has two sides to it. The one side is it's judicial. The other side is gracious. So on the judicial side, God declares the believer righteous in the sense of acquitting him. Acquitting him. In other words, you've broken God's law. You've sinned. You've done horrible stuff. Wrong stuff. Bad stuff. And now when righteousness is imparted to you, it's God saying, "I forgive you of everything you've done. I declare you innocent. You've messed up badly. Righteousness, I completely forgive you and I acquit you of all your wrongdoing. Every lie you've told, every sin you've committed, every bit of stealing you've done, every bit of lust or this or that or whatever, I wipe it away." So on one side, wipe clean. Your slate is wiped clean. That's the judicial side. Then the other side speaks of a grace that is imparted to us. Now you need to stay with me. This is critical for you in terms of ascending the hill of the Lord, for you to come before God. On the grace side, then God imparts to you his righteousness or Christ's righteousness. So on the one hand, innocent. Say innocent. I declare you innocent of all your wrongdoing, innocent. But more than that, now I speak over you I impart to you all the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means the life that Jesus has lived on earth, the perfect life, a sinless life, but also a perfectly obedient life to God. He has obeyed God in everything. He has been faithful in everything. He's never had a bad thought or spoken a lie. He's never spoken a false word. Perfection. God's saying, I'm imparting that perfection to you. How? By faith. By faith. Let me read that verse again. "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us." Jesus became sin for us. If you don't get this, you will not get Christianity. If you don't get this, you will never be able to boldly connect with the living God, because you will fall into the trap of dead religion. You will try to do that which Christ has already done for you. You will try to earn that which he's already paid for you. And do you know what happens? That offends God. You're trying to buy something that is given to you as a free gift. When you try to buy it, you offend him. you disconnect. Jesus became sin for us. It's like there's this highway of hell and all these trucks. And each truck, certain trucks have your name written on it. The name Andre. Oh, I'm going to take you down, boyki. Now that's sin coming to take you out. Now what has happened is Jesus has taken our place, pushed us out of the way, and he has said, and he put my name on him, and he let that truck hit him and kill him on the cross. That's what happened on the cross. He took all our sin upon himself. If you and I don't know that, we will be tempted to try and earn it in our own ability. But then he says, they who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In Christ, we become the righteousness. We become, in God's sight, as Jesus was. Perfection. 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 Sinless. Blameless. Holy. Pure. How? By faith. By childlike trust. How does this play out when you have a time of devotion? How do you approach God? The last few weeks I've been challenged. I'm really psyched up to spend time with God. When my alarm goes off in the morning, I'm awake before it. I'm just really wanting to spend time with God. And a few weeks ago, I had this week, it was really battling. I was like, I'm not connecting to God. What's going on? And I realized I fell into the trap of trying to earn that which Christ has already paid for me. I'm going to read the Word of God, and I'm going to become righteous. I'm going to pray for an hour, and that's going to make me righteous. I'm going to try really, really hard and impress God. And that's going to make me righteous. That's living from earth to heaven. And then I came to my senses and I realized, nah, that doesn't work. So I said, God, I'm going to come by everything that you, Jesus, have done for me on the cross. I am blameless. I am pure. I am righteous. I am in a right standing with God because of what Jesus has done for me. I am blessed. And it was a complete turnaround. Suddenly the presence of God is there. Suddenly there's peace and joy. It's working. It's like the presence of God floods the place because right now you got it. From heaven to earth. It looks the same, but the one's powerless. The other one is amazing. It's fulfilling. It's special. It's precious. And so many of us are striving. Oh God, I haven't read the Bible the last 3 years. Oh, how am I going to make this right? I am so far behind. I am so indebted, Lord. I am like, let's leave it. It's not worth trying. I'm so far behind. Don't work for it. Just come. So living from earth to heaven is relying on your own ability. It's extremely difficult. Christianity is really, really hard when you do it by your own ability. You cannot. Let's say that. I cannot. You cannot do it by your own ability. You cannot pray for 10 minutes powerfully without the grace of God upon your life. And you impress nobody by praying for 10 hours without God's power upon your life, even if you could. Living from earth to heaven is trying to earn that which God has already done for us, accomplished for us. Don't try to earn the gift of God. It offends him. So many of us come, we approach God, and it's like we approach him from a place of being outside. Okay, I'm outside. I'm going to try and get into his courts. I'm going to try and draw near. We come like an orphan. I don't know if he's going to receive me, reject me. We come from outside and there's this dividing wall and all these things in our head, all the stuff I've done wrong. And so now we try to approach him, and then there are all these accusations in our head as well. Come on, I don't think you can't come to God. Come on, you've got fear in your life and all this anxiety, and what's wrong with you? There's something wrong with you. Ever heard that? There's something wrong with you. The whisper, there's something wrong with you. It's not working. You're not experiencing the presence of God. So you're like, okay, God isn't working. So something wrong with me. So you give up. That's living from earth to heaven. But living from heaven to earth is completely different. You approach it differently. You're coming by what Jesus has done for you in the cross by faith, boldly. Jesus, God, I thank you for what you've done for me. I thank you that I am the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. I am as pure as Jesus. I'm just receiving the power of his blood. I'm just coming. I'm coming not like an orphan. I'm coming like a son to my dad. I'm not coming from outside. I'm already inside. I'm already inside. By faith, by trust in what Jesus has done for you. It's a completely different approach, and it is so powerful. It's a boldness. It's a boldness to approach the throne of God. A boldness not based on your works, a boldness based on the works of Jesus Christ. And it's the access point to everything in Christianity. It's the access point to God. Come boldly. It leads to powerful living. Look at Romans 4, verse 3 to 5. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. Say believe. Abraham believed God. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. Because he believed, the righteousness of God was added to him. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace but as debt. But to him who does not work, if you try to work for righteousness, it becomes a debt. If you try to earn it, it becomes a debt. But he says there, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. His faith is accounted for righteousness. He who justifies the ungodly. So it's this complete confidence. Complete confidence that God, I'm not coming by my own ability. I'm not coming by my own works. I'm not coming by what I have done or not done. I'm coming on the basis of the cross of Christ. The one who justifies the ungodly. You need to get this. If you don't get this, you will always battle. You always fall into the trap of dead religion. It's a massive trap. We access the gift of God by faith. Or put differently, by putting our trust in the finished work of Jesus. In the finished work of Jesus. And then we can live from heaven to earth. Then we can ascend the mountain of the Lord and live from there. Where you say, I am inside already. I am accepted in the Beloved. I am a child of the King. I am blessed. I am righteous. I am pure. I am holy by faith. And then we allow if there's stuff we need to repent of and whatever, then the Spirit of God will lead us there. But you need to come boldly. Look at this, Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. Approach the throne of God boldly. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. A great high priest. Everything we're going to be singing about, worshiping about God. You are great. A great high priest. You are wonderful. You are beautiful. You are glorious. And the question is, why do you have devotions? Do you have devotional time? Why do you? Do we try to get a checklist off there? I've read my 5 verses for the day. Hallelujah. God's impressed. That's religion. That's dead religion. I've prayed my 10 minutes. Tick. Now I can go on with life. Done my stuff. Or do we approach because we want Him? Do you approach because you want Him? Then time isn't an issue anymore. Then time isn't an issue anymore. Then whatever you do, it's not an issue. You just want Him. And so you approach. It says there, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. He's opened the way. He's prepared the way for us. And it says, let us hold fast our confession. Let us hold fast our confession. As I said, there are forces that wants to mold you, forces that wants to speak to you, forces that wants to define you. Hold fast your confession. I'm a son of God. I am righteous. I am accepted in the beloved. I am welcome. Hold fast your confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us therefore come boldly. You and I need to approach the throne of God daily. We need to approach the hill, ascend the hill of the Lord daily. We need to take up our place in Him and from that place live. Otherwise, you'll always be a victim. You will be defined by the forces of the world. You will not be the one who defines it. Maybe you're wondering, why am I battling? Why isn't things working? Why am I so intimidated? Sometimes I have to press into God for hours until I break through those forces of intimidation, of whatever, financial pressure, circumstantial pressure, or just spiritual pressure. Sometimes you have to press in until you break free, because you take up your place. If you don't, you're ineffective. If you have your own business and you're continuously intimidated, you're continuously afraid and fearful and anxious, you are powerless. You are cut. Your power has been removed. You can't lead anymore. You can't lead from the throne of God. And that's where the power lies, moving from heaven to earth. So you need to deal with it. How do you deal with it? Approach the throne of God daily and boldly. Daily and boldly. Daily and boldly. Daily and boldly, daily and boldly, daily and boldly. Amen. This is absolutely foundational for my wife and I. This is what makes us tick. This is what makes life possible. Otherwise, we would just be neutralized, powerless, powerless. God wants you to be powerful. So how does the enemy work? You and I, how do we now do this? Just very practical, practically speaking. You have a soil in your heart. Soil, Bible speaks of the soil of one's heart, and then seeds are planted in that soil. So what happens is there are seeds of doubt that the enemy brings into our lives. There's like this garden in your heart. Did you know that? A garden in your heart. And you need to determine what's going to grow there. Because that will determine your faith levels. That will determine your righteousness levels, because you must come by faith. So how do you get faith? You must plant the right seeds in the soil of your heart. And so for many of us, there are these seeds of doubt being planted in our hearts. Accusations and things like that. But then the scriptures say, James 1:21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Otherwise, these things, they grow in your heart. So for some of us, and I'm going to give you some practical tips around it, you are just minding your own business. Suddenly you have a very ungodly thought. How do you respond to that? Wow, I'm really wicked. Oh. No, it's not you. If you're a born-again Christian, your spirit is supposed to be pure and holy by faith in Christ. You're a new creation. So that thought is from outside. So when the thought comes, it's not a sin. The thought is maybe just a seed that one wanting to get planted in the soil of your heart. So sometimes I've seen with Sonica and me, both of us, sometimes we have dreams. I don't dream often, but sometimes I do. And it's either the devil or it's God. It's very seldom in the middle. But it's like seeds of fear being planted in our hearts. or seeds of this or seeds of that being planted in the soil of our heart. It's like the enemy tries to, this is like your gates, like a castle, and these are your gates. And then he comes, he can't get in when you're awake. So he comes and he throws a seed over the wall, like a dream. Tries to plant something on the inside to bring turmoil in your heart and in your mind. So that's often what works. Temptation isn't a sin, but entertaining the temptation leads to sin, because then you take that seed and you allow it to grow. You water it by meditating upon it, and then it grows. So that's sometimes just seeds of doubt, things like that. But you also get worldly seeds. Worldly seeds. TV, movies, music, entertainment. I've said this before, I'll say it again. What entertains you enters you. What entertains you enters you. What entertains you enters you. If you watch a horror movie, don't be surprised if you will get terrified when you you see your bed. Okay, it's dark. There's something under your bed. You remember when you were small? There's something under the bed. There's something under the bed. So you take this run. And you jump to your bed because you know there's something under the bed. Some of you are still doing that. I hope not. But it's amazing. I remember some horror movies I watched as a 12-year-old. It still affects me. I would walk down the street and I see that manhole over there. And I remember that clown, man. You know. It's a seed that's been planted in you. And so when something triggers it, and yay, hello. And that can make us, in a sense, like the wicked fleas and no one is pursuing. Because of the plants growing on the inside. So then you do get terrified. You watch the horror movie, so now you're praying for somebody that might have a spirit from another world. So now you're remembering, in that movie, they really clapped the good guy. So I'm not so sure, you know. You watch the movie The Exorcist. It's not going to give you faith for exorcism. It's going to freak you out. You want to run. Because it plants seeds of lies. Lies. And it's growing. This garden is growing and it's bearing fruit. And then we have our music. Gonna kill your mama. Gonna kill your mama. Gonna kill your mama. And now you see your mama. And now you're wondering, why am I so angry? Why am I so angry at her? Now I hope you guys are not listening to kill your mama music. But it's planting seeds. It's planting seeds in the soil of your heart. And it will either lead to faith or to fear, or lead to faith or to unrighteousness. And so you need to determine what are you allowing in. Music has a powerful spiritual force behind it. Just look at our worship music here in the church on Sunday. There's the presence of God all over it. Other music also has a force behind it. You need to determine what seeds are you allowing to grow in your heart. Because the wrong seeds become like weeds. Weeds. Now all the gardeners will know we don't like weeds. All the gardeners say amen. We don't like weeds. Okay, so now we have a situation that, the gardeners would know. I'm not a great gardener, but I know this. When you have some nice grass planted, it's covering the soil. Well, nice and thick. And when the weed comes, it can't get a foothold. It can't get out because it's covered with the good stuff. Okay? Now for some of us, if we go to our gardens, you think, yeah, it's a lekker garden this, man. This is like, whoa. And you come close, whoa, it's all weeds. For some of us, it's like 90% weeds. The word of God cannot get in there. So you're wondering why you're sitting in church and think, ja, hier is regtig flow vandag weer. You know? Ek is nie. But the word can't get in because it's just weeds. And for others of us, you know, the word of God is just really active in you. It's like good plants, it's good fruit. The word is really powerful on the inside. So the weeds can't get in. A lie comes and you just cast it down. You say, I am awesome. Every Christian is awesome in God. Hallelujah. Now, there's this beautiful cartoon of this little guy. I think it's very biblical. It gets first scene, it's like, it says, wake up. He wakes up. Next scene, brush teeth. Brush teeth. Next one, be awesome. Be awesome. That's who your Christian, that should be our way of doing it. Be awesome. Just be awesome and don't listen to the other lies. Don't listen to the rubbish. But that's Father God's heart. That's God the Father's heart. With my boy, I just want him to be awesome. I tell him, you're awesome. You are awesome. We'll work through the pride issues later. But you are awesome. You are awesome. We want to plant good seeds of his identity in the soil of his mind, that he be secure and confident in God. So what's growing in the soil of your heart? What's growing in the soil of your heart? What's growing? What are you feeding it? Feeding it. What are you feeding it? Oh, guys, if I can really encourage you, put limits on TV. Put limits on your movies. Put limits on your computer games. Put limits on your Bible. Not Bible reading. No limits. There's no limits on your Bible reading. But the Lord has been challenging me the last month or two of just laying down stuff. And it's hard. I'm not saying it's easy. It's really hard. It's like, I like my cricketer. But I'm finished with cricket. I'm ever. I say it every 6 months. But I am finished with cricket. They are useless. Okay? Thank you. Got off my chest. Now we can go on. But it's not easy. The Christian walk isn't easy. But I tell you, the rewards are unbelievable. If you're willing to make those sacrifices. No, I'm just going to watch one story this week and not 10. And those series, I really want to ask you, are they of Jesus? I am not so sure. Because you start watching them and you go right through the whole DVD. You watch all 4 episodes. I hear, I've never done this, but I've heard. And then they end it, right at the end, they end it with this cliffhanger. Oh, I must know. So you go back to the DVD store and you get the next series and you go, yes. And then you get a headache, I hear, and you feel miserable. It's not worth it. You'll just live from earth to heaven and you'll never connect. There's an opportunity to live from heaven to earth. To boldly come to God. Oh, let's take up that place as a church. Let's take up that place, a city on the hill. And we I promise you, we could see a city transformed. We could see a city transformed. We could really see a city transformed. But each and every one of us need to decide. Over the last few years, I've often like, oh God, why aren't we praying? Why aren't we praying? And then every time God just says, you pray. But I'm trusting that as I pray, you will start praying. Hallelujah. Okay, that's just me. Philippians 1, 19 to 21. Ending off with this. It says, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Those two things, you need it. You need to pray. But not by the flesh. Not by, oh, I must earn my righteousness. No, from a place of, God, I thank you that I am your righteous son. And this morning, in the next 30 minutes, I will have powerful intercession. I will have a time of meeting with you and seeing heaven come to earth as I agree with you. I'm not trying to connect with heaven. I am inside. And I'm going to pray a prayer that will shift heaven and earth. And it says, the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. But with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. For to me, to live is Christ. I just hear this in the Spirit. There's a call to prayer. There's a call to ascend the hill of the Lord. There is a call for us to lay down the worldly nonsense and go for the true riches, the Almighty. He's inviting us. But there's an accuser, the accuser of the brethren. And he accuses us day and night. And all these lies coming against so many of us, intimidating us, lying to us, bringing shame. The Apostle Paul says, I will be ashamed in nothing. In nothing I shall be ashamed. But with all boldness, as always, Christ. With all boldness, Christ. And so sometimes something that steals our boldness is that we are too sensitive for the opinions of man. It steals our boldness. So I want to challenge you to pray the following prayer. Not now, but in the future. Praying, God, give me a thick skin, but a soft heart. A thick skin, but a soft heart. I'm gentle. I'm soft towards you. I love people, but I'm not affected with rubbish. I'm not affected with distractions. Do not be too inwardly focused. It's a trap. Those who are extremely, extremely, extremely bold naturally, please be a little bit inwardly focused, okay? But for the rest of us, don't be searching your soul the whole time and find it. Yeah, you're just going to find fault, eh? You're going to find fault. It's going to steal your boldness. Come boldly to God and say, God, you convict me, you speak to me, you minister to me, but I will be bold. And he said, all boldness. We're going to have communion now, so the ushers can just find communion for us. And so, our challenge is to be anchored in God, anchored and defined by Him. And we need to come by prayer, and we need to come trust the Lord for the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I think they have an item as well.
Can we take that?
So they're going to do an item. But just before you do that, I just want to read this. John 3, verse 13. John 3, 13. The last verse. Is it there? Okay, I'll just read it for you. This is Jesus speaking. And this speaks about being seated in the heavenlies. It says, no one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Let me read that again. No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. That is so powerful. Jesus is saying, guys, I came down from heaven, but I am still in heaven. I'm still planted in heaven. Spiritually speaking, Jesus was operating from heaven to earth. He was walking on earth, but he was seated in heaven. And that is what God is calling each of us to. Thank you, God, in your righteousness we can stand. Jesus, in what you have done for us on the cross, in that we can stand. So Lord, I thank you for this invitation for each and every one of us, Lord, to take up our place in that place of righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. The righteousness of Christ. The righteousness of Christ. and then live from there. So Father, this morning we expose the accusations of the enemy, the lies of the enemy, trying to steal our boldness, trying to keep us out of your presence. We cast it down as lies. Lies. Lord, whatever might be forming us, circumstances, people, or even evil spirits, God, we expose their lies. And we declare that you, God Almighty, you mold us, you form us, you define us. Let's just take a moment. Just in your own words, just speak to the lies that you might have been battling with. The accusations. Or maybe people or circumstances. Take a moment and speak to them. Say no more. You will no longer define me. Maybe it's your sin. Come to Christ. Let Him wash you. Let Him cleanse you. God, right now, Lord, we renounce every other force that is forming and molding us that is contrary to your will. We renounce it in Jesus' name. We bless you, God. We bless you, God. Every believer, every Christian, when you are a believer, you've put your trust in Christ, then you can boldly declare, I am the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. But if you have not surrendered your life to Him, you first need to surrender and come to Him saying, God, I am a sinner. God, I have gone astray. Lord, I have chosen my own ways, but I'm turning back to you. I'm turning back to you. I'm coming to you for the first time. So I want to encourage you. There's this place in Jesus that He cleanses us of all our sin. And He sets us free. You need to surrender your life to Him. So let's just declare. If you are a believer, you can boldly declare this. I am the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. Say that again. I am the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. The same holy perfection that is in Jesus Christ is in me when I put my trust in Christ. Lord, right now, I place my trust in you. I believe in the finished work of the cross. By the blood of the Lamb, I am pure, I'm holy, and I am blameless. And so, God, I boldly approach your throne. I am bold in you. Thank you, Lord. Just declare the following as well. I renounce every lie of the enemy, every lie of this world, or even the opinions of man. I renounce it, and I declare that will not mold or form me. I will be molded. I will be formed by the Word of God and the Spirit of Christ. Holy God, I give to you the soil of my heart. Lord, let your seed be planted. The Word of God be planted in my mind and heart. And may it bring a great harvest, wonderful fruit to the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So, Lord Jesus, we come to the cross. We thank you for your body that was broken for us. Thank you that we have access to all the resources of God. Thank you, Lord, that we are sons and daughters of the Most High. Thank you, Lord, that we are the beloved. Thank you that we are accepted in Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we are no longer orphans. Thank you, God, that we are welcome. Thank you, God, that we are loved. Thank you, God, that you have a mission for us. A purpose of living. And I pray, God, that each and every one of us will take up our place in the Spirit. And we thank you for the broken body of Christ. Thank you. You have prepared the way. Blessed be the name of Jesus. We boast in you, not in our works. We boast in your faithfulness, not in our abilities. In Jesus' name, let's eat together. Sense in my spirit. Saw this picture of God putting cloaks over our shoulders, cloaks of righteousness, His righteousness. His righteousness. Just receive that cloak of righteousness. As God, we declare it. The righteous are as bold as a lion. The righteous are as bold as a lion. The righteous are as bold as a lion. And Lord, I pray that we would be anchored in heaven, defined by God, planted in you, and live boldly. Live boldly. Lord Jesus, thank you for your blood that was shed for us. We declare that this generation, these here are the righteous. The righteous and the bold. We bless you, Lord. And we receive that washing and cleansing. We receive that empowerment. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just welcome the Holy Spirit in. Just welcome the Spirit in to guide you, to empower you, to lead you. Jesus, let your Spirit flood our hearts. Glory to God. Just thank Him for His blood and His empowerment. That He's prepared the way for you to come. Glory to God. Thank you for your blood. It washes us clean, makes us righteous. Let's drink together. Stand with me. Boldness is not a fruit of a personality. It is the fruit of the Spirit. It is the effect of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. I just want to end off with us just asking God for that supernatural boldness to come upon us, to approach His throne and to approach every day with supernatural boldness. Hallelujah. Just pray the following prayer. Father God, I thank you that there is boldness in you. There is boldness in your Holy Spirit. So I open my heart and life to your Holy Spirit, your Spirit of boldness, confidence in you. Lord, make us bold. Jesus' name. So Father, we pray for this holiday time. Lord, we pray that each of us, Lord, will ascend the hill of the Lord daily. We pray that we would make time for the living God, that we would take up our place at the right hand of the Father and live from heaven to earth. Jesus' name. Amen.